December 14th marks the sad one-year anniversary of the unthinkable carnage of innocents at Newtown, Connecticut. For many of us, the sadness has only been deepened since that tragic day in 2012 by the utter failure of our representatives on Capitol Hill to take any meaningful gun safety action despite the almost unprecedented level of public support. But this is quite literally a matter of life and death. And so we have seen committed activists persist in the face of setbacks and look for new ways to challenge our nation's criminal love affair with deadly weapons. Faith leaders nationwide have taken leading roles in this movement, which has now gone far beyond even our national borders. And that's why, as I am joined now by Rabbi Joel Mossbacher, whose congregation meets in Mahwah, New Jersey, we have reached him instead in Italy. Rabbi Mossbacher, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me.
You have a deeply personal reason for quite literally going to any lengths in your work for gun safety. Would you mind briefly sharing that story with our radio audience?
I'm originally from suburban Chicago, and 15 years ago in January of 1999, so nearly 15 years ago, my father was gunned down at his place of business in Chicago. And so the issue of gun violence has been a personal one for me for at least that long. And it also opened my eyes to the scourge of gun violence that people like my traveling companions have been dealing with for decades.
What a tragedy that was in your life. I know you're not alone, unfortunately. Would you tell us now about this extraordinary trip you're on? With whom are you traveling and why?
So I'm traveling with Reverend David Brawley, who's a pastor, a Baptist minister in Brooklyn, Reverend Patrick O'Connor of Queens, and Bishop Douglas Miles of Baltimore, Maryland. And we are on a mission to try and get gun companies, gun manufacturers, to take their constructive part in reducing gun violence in America. And that requires a bit of background. We've been trying to figure out how to act on this issue, and we is an organization called Metro Industrial Areas Foundation. Mm-hmm. IAF is the oldest and largest network of community organizations in America, 10 states in all, in the eastern part of the United States. And we have acted over many decades on a whole range of issues, building nearly 4,000 units of affordable housing in Brooklyn, acting on the issues of healthcare and the environment, education, and things of that nature. We gather across lines of race and faith and class to act on a whole range of issues of mutual concern. Since Newtown, we've been trying to figure out whether there's something we can do on this issue of gun violence. First, we worked in hopes that Congress would play its role in helping to keep us safer. Once we realized that Congress had made a decision, and that was to stand idly by the blood of our neighbor, we began to try and think about what else we might do to act powerfully on this issue. And as we did our research, we realized that 40% of the guns in America are purchased by our police and military. That's an astounding figure in and of itself. And as we learned further, the vast majority of the weapons our police and military buy are purchased from European companies, Glock in Austria, Sig Sauer in Germany, and Beretta in Italy. And so we began to wonder if police and military could join people of faith in asking for more responsible corporate behavior from these international corporations. Perhaps, just perhaps, we could begin to change the dynamics of gun violence.
Rabbi, are you going knocking on the door for the first time, or did you give some advance notice that you were coming and asking if they would see you if you were there? How did this unfold?
We sent a letter to each company some weeks back asking for a meeting. We did not hear anything from Sig Sauer or Beretta, and Glock, frankly, sent a letter telling us that they wouldn't meet, but that we should meet with their American lobbying organization. Hmm. And our view is that probably their American lobbying organization doesn't actually make decisions for the corporation. We think Gaston Glock, the CEO and founder of Glock, probably does. So we've come hoping to find receptivity. Our team was in Brescia, Italy, and hand-delivered that same letter to the front door of Beretta asking for a meeting. But so far, we've received no willingness to meet so far on this trip with these manufacturers. So we've been meeting with a whole range of other folks who care about this issue, people of faith, American ambassadors in Germany and in Austria. We've met with another gun manufacturer who is doing creative work on safer gun technology. We've met with EU officials, the victims group out of a sad school shooting situation in Germany in 2009. We're looking for unlikely allies who will join this work in attempting to get gun manufacturers to play their constructive role in keeping us safer.
If you get in to talk with these people, how would you like for such a meeting to take place?
Well, there are three specific areas that we have asked gun manufacturers to step up on that they have the power and the ability to do. The first area is with regards to the distribution of their weapons. We'd like those gun manufacturers to decide that they are going to only distribute their products through licensed dealers in America. That doesn't take place universally in the United States. It only takes place in states that require it. And we think gun manufacturers have the ability to just decide that they're only going to distribute their products through licensed dealers, which we think would increase the number of background checks that were done on folks who wanted to acquire a gun. Secondly, we want gun manufacturers to invest in research and development in smarter and safer gun technology, which is within their power to do. And again, we met with a smaller gun manufacturer yesterday who's doing creative work in this area. It's clear that the technology exists. I bought an iPhone 5S a couple of weeks ago, and it can only be activated by my thumbprint. If it can work for an iPhone, surely it can work, or a version of that technology can work on guns. And thirdly, we'd like to ask these European companies to stop funneling thousands of dollars into the American political system. There was a story earlier this week in a German newspaper outlining the thousands of dollars that these companies put into the American political system by lobbying against sensible gun legislation in America. And we think that's a meddling in American politics that foreign companies shouldn't be doing. So there's some very specific asks that we have of them. And the longer we're here, the more we realize that they are capable of doing these things if they're willing to take their part and be known not only for the quality of their weapons, but for a commitment to gun safety in America.
On this first anniversary of Newtown, all of you are taking extraordinary steps to keep up the pressure. What is the situation as you see it in the United States? Are you doing some of the same kind of efforts here that you're doing in Europe?
The main effort, and really the main heart of this work for the last several months, is we've had more than 100 meetings in seven states so far across America with mayors and police chiefs. We've told them this story, we've explained this strategy, and we've invited them to reevaluate the way they procure weapons with an eye towards the idea that the next time they procure weapons, they will put language in their request for a proposal that they put out for bid that will place a priority on the social, what we're calling the social quality of the weapons in addition to the technical quality of the weapons. So many of those municipalities are beginning the process of reviewing the way they purchase weapons, again, with an eye towards adding language to the requirements they'll have for the next purchase. And in a wonderful development, the city of Jersey City, New Jersey, which is the second largest city in New Jersey, yesterday announced that it would be the first city to put this language into a bid they are putting up for bid right now. And we think this is going to be a game changer on the issue of gun violence in America. And if it's good enough in Jersey City, we've gotten commitments from Mayor-elect Bill de Blasio in New York City that he will work with us. We've met with cities small, medium, and large across America, and we're optimistic that they'll add their purchasing power. That's the whole idea to this calculus.
Well, that's an extraordinary announcement, and it's a great achievement. I'm so pleased you shared that with us. Do you see any change in the achievable goals through current legislative action?
I'm not an expert in the workings of Washington. I'm not sure anyone is. What seems clear to me is that this is a moral issue that should move our legislators. And if events like Newtown don't, it's hard to see what will. We know that Congress has within its ability the capacity to pass laws, sensible laws, not laws that will take away guns from law-abiding citizens, but laws that will make an impact on keeping guns out of the hands of citizens who shouldn't have them. And we know that a vast majority of gun owners support laws like that. But what is keeping Congress from doing that? Your guess is as good as mine. In part, we think that they are flooded with money from gun manufacturers who lobby them heavily and back that lobbying with bundling of money that goes on that side of the ledger to vote against their conscience, to vote against what's clearly a moral issue of our time. 30,000 gun deaths in America. If there were 30,000 soldiers dying in a war every year in America, people would be flooding the streets. This would not stand. Somehow, these 30,000 gun deaths have become normal. I was speaking with my colleague and traveling companion, Reverend David Brawley, who has buried countless number of his congregants, victims of gun violence. And somehow that has become accepted norms in America. I don't know how that can be, and I don't know how Congress can stand idly by.
Joel, can you tell our listeners a way that they can learn about what's happening with you and your colleagues?
If people are interested in following our journey, we are tweeting the hashtag MetroIAF, and even after our journey, people will be able to follow up and find out what's going on with our work. And we'd love folks to join us. Frankly, we're trying to find ways for people to be all over America to be able to go to their mayors and police chiefs and simply build a relationship with them first and foremost, and secondarily, invite them into a conversation. How do you purchase weapons, and would you be willing to use your power to change the market for guns in America? And we think that would be really impactful. So for starters, follow us on Twitter if you can. And there's been good press thanks to people like you, and hopefully some more so people can find out more about how they can help.
Rabbi Mosbacher, one last question, somewhat personal. Your father was shot down in 1999. So you've been at this now for almost 15 years. You've seen a lot of setbacks. What's going on inside you? Is it what's motivating you?
You know, I'll have to tell you, Elton, that although this happened 15 years ago for me, I haven't been an activist on this issue for most of that time because I felt like there was nothing meaningful to do, that nothing was going to change, that there wasn't a meaningful effort. And so Newtown was in some ways a wake-up call for me as a person of faith, even though I'm also survivor of a family member who was killed in gun violence. And for the first time, I guess what's going on inside of me is the belief that something can really change, that people of faith can gather together with executive branch officials and actually make a real impact. And we're all too busy to get involved in campaigns that aren't going anywhere. This is a campaign that feels real, tangible, possible, viable in every way. And so I'm energized and hopeful and optimistic in a way that I haven't been in 15 years that we might make an impact on this issue of gun violence in America.
Rabbi Joel Mosbacher is a longtime activist working for common sense safety measures around guns in the United States. He leads Temple Beth Havarim Shir Shalom in Mahwah, New Jersey. And this week, along with other faith leaders from diverse religious backgrounds, he traveled to Europe to raise awareness of the impact gun manufacturers who are based there are having on the bloodshed in American streets and in our schools. We talked with him from Italy, where he is doing his work today. Rabbi Mosbacher, thanks so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much, Walton.